welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Monday, March 28th, and we had 7 games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Detroit, the Knicks defeated the Pistons 104-102. In Boston, the Celtics beat the Timberwolves 134-112. In Washington, the Wizards defeated the Warriors 123-115. In Phoenix, the Suns beat the 76ers 114-104. In New Orleans, the Pelicans defeated the Lakers 116-108. In Brooklyn, the Hornets beat the Nets 119-110. And finally, in Dallas, the Mavs defeated the Jazz 114-100. So we will break down all 7 of those games in just a moment. But first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we're at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Detroit, where the Knicks just edged past the Pistons 104-102. The Knicks were led by R.J. Barrett. He had 21 points and 9 rebounds, and they also got 20 from Julius Randle and 18 points off the bench from Emmanuel Quickley, whereas the Pistons were led by their new addition, Marvin Bagley. He had 27 points in the starting lineup, and he was very efficient, 11-14 from the field, and they also got 18 points from Cade Cunningham, the rookie, and 14 from Sadiq Bey. But unfortunately for them, they were just edged in the end by the Knicks. Alec Burks and RJ Barrett were clutched down the stretch. Particularly Burks, he had a three-pointer with just 45 seconds to go that put the Knicks up by 4. It was 104-100. And then later, he had a last-second steal to help the Knicks finish the job after Killian Hayes had cut the deficit to just 2 with a layup. So an exciting finish and some really clutch plays down the stretch, especially from the Knicks. And they were actually leading pretty significantly earlier in this game. They had outscored the Pistons in the first quarter 34-22, and then they maintained basically a double-digit lead throughout the entire second quarter. In fact, at one point, about midway through the second, after a dunk from Obi Toppin with 7.5 minutes to go, it was 45-26, so nearly a 20-point advantage for the Knicks. But then it was starting to slip away by the end of the first half, and in the beginning of the second half, the Pistons really completed their comeback, and then it was just back and forth throughout the majority of the second half. The Knicks almost reestablished another double-digit lead midway through the fourth quarter after a two-pointer from RJ Barrett with 3:46 left on the clock. It was a 7-point game. It was 97-90, but then the Pistons would come right back into it once again, and then it was really close down the stretch, and like I said, they needed some clutch heroics from Alec Burks to ultimately get this win, and they did. And so with this victory, the Knicks now improved to 33-42, so that is still good for 11th in the Eastern Conference. They are 4.5 games behind the Atlanta Hawks in 10th, and then they're just half a game up on the Washington Wizards in 12th. And the Knicks are negative 0.5 in the point differential, which is exactly where they should be in the conference standings. They actually have won 3 games in a row now, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pistons, this loss takes them to 20-55, so that is good for 14th in the Eastern Conference, but they're exactly tied now with the Orlando Magic in 15th, and then they are 5 games behind the Indiana Pacers in 13th. And the Pistons are negative 7.8 in the point differential, which is in fact worst in the Eastern Conference. And so in terms of the tankathon league-wide, it's actually really close at this point. So the Pistons, the Magic, and the Rockets are all on 20 wins. In fact, they're all 20-55. So all 3 of those teams currently exactly tied. And then you've got the Oklahoma City Thunder at 21 wins. And then the next closest team is the Indiana Pacers with 25. So it's almost certainly going to be those 4 teams with the best odds in the draft lottery in some order. It's going to be the Pistons, Magic, Rockets, and then perhaps the Thunder in 4th to last. So we shall see how it all unfolds down the stretch here. There's definitely going to be some tanking moving forwards. But anyways, we can move on now to the box score. And the Knicks were led, as I mentioned, by RJ Barrett. He had 21 points in the starting lineup, and he was clutch down the stretch. In 36 minutes in this game, he was 7-18 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And then they also got 20 points from Julius Randle in 31 minutes. He was 7-18 from the field, and only 4-8 from the free throw line, but he had 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. And then they got 18 points from Alec Burks, and he was very efficient, 4-6 from the field, including 3 three-pointers, and he was 7-8 from the free throw line. And he also had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. 11 points for Evan Fournier. He was 4-12 from the field in 27 minutes. He did have 3 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. And finally, Mitchell Robinson, rounding out the starting lineup, had just 4 points in 29 minutes. He did have 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 5 blocks, though. And then off the bench for New York, they got 18 points from the sophomore guard, Emmanuel Quickley. He was 6 of 15 from the field, but he did have 4 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and he was plus 9 in the plus-minus, which was the team high. And then they also got 10 points from the other sophomore, Obi Toppin, the backup big man. In 17 minutes, he was 4 of 6 from the field. He had 1 rebound, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And Jericho Sims, rounding out the scorers off the bench for New York, he had 2 points and 8 rebounds. Miles McBride, the rookie, he was 0 of 6 from the field in 17 minutes. And as for the Pistons, they were led, as I mentioned, by Marvin Bagley. He had 27 points in 35 minutes, and he was incredibly efficient, 11 of 14 from the field. He had 1 three-pointer and 7 rebounds. Incredible stuff for Bagley. And then they also got a double-double from Isaiah Stewart, the big man, the sophomore. He had 10 points and 10 rebounds in 37 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from the field, and he had 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 18 points for the rookie, Cade Cunningham, in 37 minutes. He was 7 of 18 from the field, and he had 7 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And then they got 14 points from Sadiq Bey. He had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 9 points from Corey Joseph, and he had 6 rebounds and 4 assists. And off the bench for the Pistons, they got 9 points from Braxton Key in 13 minutes. They got 7 from Frank Jackson, 6 for Killian Hayes, and he had 6 rebounds as well. And then 2 points for Kelly Olynyk, although he was just 1 of 6 from the field. And Rodney Magruder was 0 of 3 from the field, and he did not score. All right, and next up we can move on to Boston, where the Celtics defeated the Minnesota Timberwolves, 134-112. The Celtics were led by who else but Jason Tatum. He had 34 points, including 5 three-pointers. And then they also got 31-10 from Jaylen Brown and 15 points off the bench from Derek White. Whereas the Timberwolves were led by Anthony Edwards. He had 24 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists, leading the team in all three categories. And then they also got 19 points from Karl-Anthony Towns and 13 points off the bench from Jalen Noel. But unfortunately for the Timberwolves, they were just handily defeated in this game by the Celtics, who are absolutely unstoppable at the moment, currently atop the Eastern Conference. It's just remarkable what this team has done in the second half of this season, or really it's like the second two-thirds of this season. They were just totally dominant once again. They outscored the Timberwolves 34-30 in the first, and then 38-19 in the second. So they had a double-digit lead by halftime, and they pretty much just maintained it throughout the entire second half. It was actually almost 20 points throughout the majority of the third quarter. So just an incredibly dominant win here for the Celtics once again. And they actually shot the ball pretty similarly to the Timberwolves. They were 56% from the field and 43% from three. That's incredibly efficient, but the Timberwolves were 53% from the field and 43% from the three-point line as well. So really good shooting by both teams, but it was the rebounding that absolutely killed the Timberwolves. They were just dominated on the glass, 45-30 by the Celtics. And this comes despite the fact that Robert Williams, the big man for the Celtics, sprained his left knee in the third quarter and limped off the court. He didn't even play in the fourth, but they still just dominated on the interior. So really good win here for the Celtics. And hopefully it's nothing too serious for Williams. And so with this victory, the Celtics now improved to 47-28. So like I said, atop the Eastern Conference. They are actually tied with the Miami Heat, but they have the advantage via the tiebreaker. So they are in first, and then they're half a game up on the Bucks and 76ers in third and fourth. Those teams are tied as well. So incredibly tight there at the top of the Eastern Conference. Any of these teams could go from first to fourth just like that down the stretch here. We've only got a couple of games left in the regular season, but it's going to be a close one to determine who gets those top four seeds in the Eastern Conference. And the Celtics are plus 6.8 in the point differential. That is, in fact, best in the East. The point differential has been out of whack for quite some time because the Celtics have had the best point differential in the conference for a while, but it's taken them quite some time to get all the way up to first, but they've finally done it, and they're on a 6-game winning streak currently. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. Just remarkable stuff for Boston. And as for the Timberwolves, this loss takes them to 43-33, so they're down in 7th in the Western Conference. They're only 6-4 in their last 10 games. They were really on a hot streak there for a while, but they've kind of cooled off just a little bit. They are now 1.5 games behind the Denver Nuggets in 6th, and then they're 6.5 games up on the LA Clippers in 8th. And the Timberwolves are plus 3.2 in the point differential. That is actually 5th best in the conference. But like I said, they're just 6-4 in their last 10. So anyways, we can move on now to the box score. And the Timberwolves were led, as I mentioned, by Anthony Edwards, the sophomore. He had 24 points in 37 minutes, and he actually led the team in rebounds and assists as well. He had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, and he was 5 of 9 from beyond the arc, 9 of 16 from the field overall. So really solid efficiency for Edwards. He had 1 steal, 5 turnovers, though. 19 points for Karl Anthony Towns. He was 8 of 15 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 5 assists. A bit of a disappointing output for Towns, if we're being honest. You'd like to see him dominate the game a little bit more aggressively. And then you also got 11 points from Jared Vanderbilt in 19 minutes. He was 5 of 7 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. 7 points for Patrick Beverley, the veteran point guard. He was 3 of 7 from the field in 24 minutes, and he had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And D'Angelo Russell rounding out the starting lineup, he just had 4 points, so a really disappointing game for him. He was 1 of 6 from the field. He had 1 rebound, 6 assists, 2 steals, and he was the team worst, negative 19 in the plus-minus. And off the bench for Minnesota, they got 13 points from Jalen Noel. In 27 minutes, he was 5 of 8 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. They got 10 points from Torian Prince. In 25 minutes, he was 4 of 10 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds. And then they also got 5 points from Nathan Knight, 2 for Jake Lehman, 3 for Josh Okogie, 6 for Naz Reid, the backup big man, 6 points as well for Jordan McLaughlin, and finally 2 points for Leandro Bolmaro. And as for the Celtics, they were led by Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. The two Jays were just dominant once again. Tatum had 34 in 34 minutes, and he was also plus 34 in the plus minus, so you'll love to see that symmetry there. He was 12 of 21 from the field, 5 of 11 from the three-point line, and 5 of 5 from the free throw line. So really solid efficiency for Tatum. He had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And then 31 points for Jaylen Brown. He was also very efficient, 12 of 20 from the field. He had 3 threes, 10 rebounds, 2 assists. Then they also got 7 points from Marcus Smart. He was a bit less efficient, 3 of 9 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. 13 points for Robert Williams before he went out of this game. He played 24 minutes, and he was 6 of 7 from the field. He had 10 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. And Grant Williams rounding out the starting lineup. He had 7 points and 3 rebounds in 28 minutes. And off the bench for the Celtics, they got 15 points from Derek White. In 30 minutes, he was 4 of 6 from the field, and he had 2 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal. 11 points for Peyton Pritchard, the sophomore. He was 4 of 7 from the field. In 21 minutes, he had 3 three-pointers, 5 assists, 2 rebounds. And then they got 6 points from Sam Hauser, 6 points as well from Aaron Nesmith, and 4 points and 6 rebounds from Daniel Tice. Luke Kornet saw the court briefly, but he did not score. All right, and next up we can move on to Washington, where the Wizards defeated the Golden State Warriors 123-115, the Warriors' 5th loss in just 6 games. Obviously still no Steph Curry for the Warriors, and so they were led by Jordan Poole. He had 26 points in the starting lineup, although he was 1 of 10 from the 3-point line. He was just 8 of 25 from the field overall. And then they got 25 points from Klay Thompson. He had 5 3-pointers, and 23 from Andrew Wiggins. Whereas the Wizards were led by the rookie, Corey Kispert. He had 25 points in the starting lineup. He was on fire in this game, 9 of 12 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3. And then they also got 23 points from their new addition, Kristaps Porzingis, and 22 from Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And the shooting was just not good enough for Golden State. They were 42% from the field in this game, 24% from 3, whereas the Wizards were on fire, 52% from the field, 57% from 3. Frankly, it's surprising that they didn't win this game by even more because they were just so dominant, especially from beyond the arc. That disparity is just incredible. 57% from 3 for the Wizards, 24% from 3 for the Warriors. They were trailing throughout the majority of the game, but the lead waxed and waned a little bit. The Wizards had opened up a small lead in the first quarter, but then the Warriors closed the gap in the second. But then, once again, the Wizards started to open up a lead, and this time it was a significant one. An 18-point lead for the Wizards with 3:59 left in the first half. Kristaps Porzingis hit a three-pointer off of a Tomas Satoransky assist, and that put the Wizards up 57-39. So it looked like they might cruise to an easy victory. And they did maintain that lead throughout the rest of the game, throughout the third quarter and most of the fourth. It was about a 10-point game. But then at the very end of the fourth quarter, the Warriors went on a little bit of a run. Klay Thompson hit a three-pointer, and then it was a couple of layups from Jordan Poole. And just like that, the Warriors were back in the game at the very end. But ultimately, the Wizards were able to hold on and get the victory in the end. And frankly, I think it was a deserved victory because they were much better than the Warriors throughout the majority of the game due to that three-point shooting primarily. And so with this victory, the Wizards now improved to 32-42. So that is good, like I said, for 12th in the Eastern Conference. They are just half a game behind the New York Knicks in 11th. And then they're a good 7.5 games up on the Indiana Pacers in 13th. So pretty much guaranteed the Knicks and Wizards will be in some order in the 11th and 12th spots there in the Eastern Conference. And the Wiz are negative 3.2 in the point differential. They are on a 2-game winning streak, but they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for the Warriors, this loss takes them to 48-27. So they're down in third in the Western Conference. They are 4 games behind the Memphis Grizzlies in second at this point, and 13 games off the Phoenix Suns in first, and then they're 2 games up on the Dallas Mavericks in fourth. So it looked certain that the Warriors and Grizzlies would be locked into the second and third seeds, but at this point, they could potentially be caught by the Dallas Mavericks down the stretch if they continue to struggle, even though there's just a couple of games to go. There is still time that the Mavericks could actually surpass the Warriors for third in the Western Conference, so that would be pretty remarkable. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games, plus 5.6 in the point differential, but they're on a 2-game losing streak, and like I said, this is their 5th loss in 6 games. So really disappointing stuff here with no Steph Curry for Golden State. All right, so we can move on now to the box score. And the Warriors were led, as I mentioned, by Jordan Poole and Klay Thompson. So Poole had 26 points in 40 minutes in the starting lineup. He was 8 of 25 from the field, though, so not very efficient, just 1 of 10 from 3. He did most of his damage, or a lot of his damage, I should say, from the free throw line. He was 9 of 11 from the charity stripe. And he had 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals as well. And then Klay Thompson had 25 points, and he was a little bit more efficient. 10 of 22 from the field, 5 of 13 from 3, although he didn't get to the free throw line at all. So he was doing more of his damage from the three-point line. Poole was doing more of his damage from the free throw line. But nonetheless, Thompson had 5 rebounds and 3 assists. And then they also got 23 points from Andrew Wiggins in 35 minutes. He was a little bit more efficient than either one of them. He was 8 of 14 from the field, but he was 0 of 3 from beyond the arc and 7 of 10 from the free throw line. He had 2 rebounds. And 7 points for Draymond Green. In 26 minutes, he was 2 of 6 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. And 4 points for Jonathan Kuminga, the rookie, rounding out the starting lineup. He was ice cold in this game, 0 of 5 from the field. In 14 minutes only, he had 3 rebounds. But off the bench for the Warriors, they got 14 points and 11 rebounds from Otto Porter Jr., the veteran. In 27 minutes, he was 5 of 7 from the field, and he had 2 assists. And then they also got 8 points from Kevon Looney in 24 minutes. Now that he is relegated to the bench, he was 2 of 3 from the field in this game, and he had 6 rebounds. And then 5 points for Gary Payton II, and 3 points and 6 rebounds for Damian Lee. And as for the Wizards, they were led, as I mentioned, by the rookie Corey Kispert. He was on fire in this game. In 41 minutes in the starting lineup, he had 25 points on 9 of 12 shooting. He was 6 of 9 from beyond the arc, and he had 1 rebound and 3 assists. And he was plus 16 in the plus minus. That was a team high. So really incredible game here for Kispert. Probably his best game of his young career thus far. And then they also got 23 points from Kristaps Porzingis in 31 minutes. He was not very efficient. 6 of 21 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3. But like Poole on the Warriors, he did a lot of his damage from the free throw line, where he was 10 of 11. And then he also had 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. So Porzingis has looked pretty good for the Wizards thus far. That's kind of the deal with Porzingis throughout his career, is that he looks really good while he's on the court, despite his inefficiency in this game. But nonetheless, it's just his health, his ability to stay on the court is the problem. And we'll see going forwards if he can actually stay on the court for the Wizards, or if he's going to continue to be plagued by these nagging injuries that have rendered him as merely an intermittent player throughout his career thus far. But anyways, moving on to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He had 22 points, and he was actually perfect. 8 of 8 from the field, including 3 three-pointers, and 3 of 3 from the free throw line. So a literally perfect shooting game for KCP. And he had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. Incredible stuff for the former Laker, Caldwell-Pope. And then they also got 9 points from Thomas Satoransky in the starting lineup. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal. And Rui Hachimura, rounding out the starting lineup, had 6 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And off the bench for Washington, they got 14 points from Denny Avdia. He was 5 of 9 from the field in 28 minutes. He had 3 three-pointers, 4 assists, 1 steal. 11 points for Daniel Gafford, the backup big man. He was 5 of 6 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds and 2 blocks. And then 9 points for Anthony Gill, and he was also perfect, 3 of 3 from the field in 21 minutes. He had 8 rebounds. And 4 points for Ish Smith. He was not perfect, 2 of 10 from the field. All right, next up we can move on to Phoenix, perhaps the game of the night. The Suns taking down the Philadelphia 76ers, 114-104. The Suns were led by who else but Devin Booker, 35 points in 35 minutes. This guy is just a machine. And then they also got a big double-double from Chris Paul, 19 points and 14 assists, and a double-double as well from DeAndre Ayton, 14 and 12. Whereas the 76ers were led by Joel Embiid, he had 37 points and 15 rebounds, and he really stuffed the stat sheet. We'll get to that later. And then they also got 18 points from the sophomore Tyrese Maxey and 17 points from Tobias Harris. James Harden was ice cold in this game, 14 points on 2 of 11 shooting. He salvaged it a little bit by going 8 of 8 from the free throw line, but nonetheless, disappointing stuff once again for Harden in a big game, and ultimately that really torpedoed the 76ers' chances in this one. They just could not shoot the ball efficiently enough to keep up with the Suns, who were 51% from the field, 48% from three. Incredible shooting. The 76ers, on the other hand, were 41% from the field, 27% from three. So not nearly good enough to keep up. Specifically at the end of the game, it was like the end of the third quarter when the 76ers started to fall behind. They were trailing by five at the end of the third. It was 91-86. And then that lead actually expanded to double digits midway through the fourth quarter. It was 101-90 after a three-pointer from Landry Shamet with 7:43 left on the clock. But then the 76ers actually did close that gap after a three-pointer from Tyrese Maxey with 5 minutes to go. It was a three-point game. It was 101-98. But then the Suns did what they do best. They closed this game out. They are so clutch, and they just totally dominated throughout the final couple of minutes of the fourth quarter. Jay Crowder hit a clutch three with 1:35 left on the clock that put the Suns up by 12, 114-102. That one was really the nail in the coffin. And this is a particularly disappointing loss for the 76ers because they were actually leading pretty significantly early in the game. They were up by double digits at one point in the second quarter. In fact, it was a 15-point game after a three-pointer from Danny Green with 7:21 left on the clock in the second. So they looked pretty good early on, but then in the third quarter, they were outscored by the Suns 31-22. And then in the fourth, the Suns kept up the pressure, outscoring the 76ers 23-18. So ultimately a capitulation in the second half by Philadelphia. And so with this loss, they now fall to 46-28, so that is good for fourth in the Eastern Conference. They were briefly at the top of the conference just a couple of days ago, but they're now in fourth. But like I said, very tightly contested there, just half a game behind the Heat and Celtics in first and second, and then tied exactly with the Milwaukee Bucks in third. And the Sixers are three games up on the Chicago Bulls in fifth. Their plus 2.2 point differential is about where they should be in the standings. It's worse than the Cavaliers in seventh, but they are 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Suns, this win takes them to 61-14. Incredible season that they are having. 9 games up on the Memphis Grizzlies in second, and 13 games up on the Warriors in third. So just total domination for Phoenix. Their plus 8.4 point differential is best in the NBA. They're also on a league-leading 8-game winning streak, and they're 9-1 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the 76ers were led, as I mentioned, by Joel Embiid. Honestly, it was an MVP caliber performance other than the fact that it came in a loss. He had 37 points and 15 rebounds in 38 minutes. He was 14 of 27 from the field, 1 of 5 from beyond the arc, and 8 of 12 from the free throw line. So overall, the three-point shooting and the free throw shooting a little bit lacking, but nonetheless, still incredible scoring. And then he also had 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. And he also had 4 turnovers. So giving you a little bit of everything, Embiid, the good, the bad. You love those 5 combined steals and blocks and the 37 points, 15 rebounds. All of that is fantastic. But then the slightly inefficient shooting from 3 and from the free throw line is a bit frustrating. And then the 4 turnovers is also annoying. So I guess I'm nitpicking a little bit. It's nonetheless an incredible fantasy line for Joel Embiid. And then they also got 18 points from the sophomore Tyrese Maxey in 38 minutes. He was 7 of 21 from the field, 3 of 10 from beyond the arc. And he just had 3 assists, nothing else in the box score. No steals, blocks, rebounds, turnovers. He was negative 25 in the plus minus, which was by far the team low. Then they also got 17 points from Tobias Harris. In 38 minutes, he was 8 of 14 from the field. He had 8 rebounds and 2 assists. 14 points for James Harden, but like I said, he was very inefficient. 2 of 11 from the field. His 2 makes came from beyond the arc, and he was 8 of 8 from the free throw line. He had 7 rebounds, 9 assists, 1 steal, though. And then Matisse Thybulle, rounding out the starting lineup, had 3 points only in 16 minutes. And off the bench for the 76ers, they got 6 points from Danny Green. He was 2 of 7 from beyond the arc in 29 minutes. He had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. 4 points for DeAndre Jordan, the backup big man. He had 5 rebounds. 3 points for Shake Milton, and 2 points for George Niang. Niang and Milton were both 1 of 3 from the field. And as for the Suns, they were led, as I mentioned, by Devin Booker, another incredible performance, 35 points in 35 minutes. He was 13 of 22 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. He was plus 7 in the plus-minus. The team I in that regard was actually Chris Paul. He was plus 25 in his 36 minutes, and he had a nice line, 19 points, 14 assists on 9 of 15 shooting. He had 1 three-pointer, 4 rebounds, 1 steal, and 1 block, and just 1 turnover. Incredible stuff for the 36-year-old. And then they also got a double-double from DeAndre Ayton. He had 14 points and 12 rebounds in 31 minutes. He was 5 of 8 from the field. He had 2 assists, 1 steal, 11 points for Mikal Bridges in 41 minutes. He was 5 of 11 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And Jay Crowder, rounding out the starting lineup, had 9 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. And off the bench for Phoenix, they got 12 points from Landry Shamet in 17 minutes. He had 3 three-pointers. He was 4 of 7 from the field. 6 points for Bismack Biyombo, the backup big man. He had 7 rebounds and 2 blocks. 5 points for Cameron Payne, although he was negative 25 in the plus-minus. That was by far the team low. And then 3 points for Torrey Craig in 19 minutes. All right, next up we can move on to New Orleans, where a game with big implications for the bottom of the playoff picture in the Western Conference, the play-in game, the Pelicans defeating the LA Lakers, 116-108. The Pels were led by Brandon Ingram. He had 26 points, and they also got 19 and 12 from Jonas Valanciunas and 18 points from CJ McCollum. Whereas the Lakers were led by LeBron James, he had 39 points on 14 of 27 shooting. He had 7 three-pointers. And then they also got 18 points from Russell Westbrook and 23 from Malik Monk. But just a devastating loss here for the Lakers for a number of reasons. First of all, they are now in 10th in the Western Conference, meaning if they fall one more spot, they will not only be out of the playoffs, but out of the play-in game. That would be a disaster for the LeBron James, Russell Westbrook-led Lakers, despite the fact that Anthony Davis has been in and out of the lineup. Still, there is not many excuses that you can point to other than the roster construction and the effort throughout the season. So disastrous year here for the Lakers continues with this loss. They're now one game up on the San Antonio Spurs in 11th. And then it was also a devastating loss because the Lakers blew a huge lead. They were up by 23 points at one point in the second quarter. They were actually leading throughout the majority of regulation. They had outscored the Pelicans 31-23 in the first, and then 38-26 in the second. So by halftime, it was a 20-point game. It was 69-49. Like I said, it was up to 23 at one point in the second. And then in the third quarter, things started to unravel for the Lakers. They were outscored 41-25 in the third by the Pelicans. And then they just continued to take over this game in the fourth quarter, outscoring the Lakers 26-14. A completely abysmal and disgraceful fourth quarter for the Lakers. This team is just totally checked out. I think they would all prefer to just not make the play-in game and be done with the season. LeBron obviously is still putting up incredible stats, but he's just one guy, and this is a team sport. And also, it kind of feels like he's just putting up numbers to pad his own stats to a certain extent. Obviously, I think he wants to lead the league in scoring this season, and he also wants to catch Kareem Abdul-Jabbar by the end of his career. So he's got his own goals in mind, but not necessarily the team's goals overall. He had 4 turnovers in this game. That was one of the problems for the Lakers. They had 15 turnovers as a team, whereas the Pelicans just had 7. They actually shot the ball better than the Pelicans. They were 52% from the field and 40% from 3, whereas New Orleans was 48% from the field, 33% from 3. To be fair, they were pretty abysmal in the first half, but still, those turnovers just killed the Lakers in the second half, and they just could not buy a bucket in that abysmal fourth quarter where they were only able to manage 14 points. So with this loss, LA now falls to 31-43. So like I said, in 10th now in the Western Conference. They are half a game behind the Pelicans in 9th, and then they are just one game up on the San Antonio Spurs in 11th, who have been playing pretty well recently. They're on a 3-game winning streak, and they're 6-4 in their last 10. So the Spurs definitely in contention to steal away that spot from the Lakers. Like I said, it seems like they don't even want to be in the play-in game at this point. They are negative 2.7 in the point differential, which is in fact worse than the Spurs. They're on a 2-game losing streak, and they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for New Orleans, this win obviously takes them past the Lakers into 9th. They are now at 32-43, so half a game up on the Lakers, and then 4 games behind the LA Clippers in 8th. And New Orleans is negative 1.0 in the point differential. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Lakers were led by LeBron James. Incredible numbers, once again. 39 points in 42 minutes. He was 14 of 27 from the field, 7 three-pointers. He was 7 of 13 from beyond the arc, and then he also had 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 block. And like I said, he did have 4 turnovers, but still pretty remarkable numbers for the 37-year-old LeBron James. And then they also got 18 points from Russell Westbrook in 32 minutes. He was 8 of 15 from the field. He had 2 threes, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. 8 points for Dwight Howard in 33 minutes. He had 10 rebounds, And then 4 points for Wenyen Gabriel in 18 minutes. He was 2 of 3 from the field. And Austin Reeves, rounding out the starting lineup, did not score at all. In just 20 minutes, he was 0 of 2 from the field. He did have 6 rebounds and 6 assists, though. And off the bench for the Lakers, they got 23 points from Malik Monk. In 29 minutes, he was 9 of 17 from the field. He had 2 3-pointers, 6 assists, 7 points for Talen Horton-Tucker in 21 minutes, 6 for DJ Augustine, the backup point guard, and 3 for Carmelo Anthony. He was 1 of 4 from the field. Stanley Johnson saw the court for 19 minutes, but not only did he not score, he didn't even attempt a shot or a free throw. And as for the Pelicans, they were led, as I mentioned, by Brandon Ingram. He had 26 points. Good to see him back in the lineup for the Pelicans. He was 10 of 17 from the field, and he had 7 rebounds and 5 assists. And then they also got a double-double from Jonas Valanciunas, 19 points and 12 rebounds. He had 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 18 points for CJ McCollum. He was 7 of 16 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal. 8 points for Jackson Hayes, the other big man in the starting lineup, starting alongside Jonas Valanciunas. He was 3 of 4 from the field in 18 minutes. And then Herb Jones, the rookie, rounding out the starting lineup, had 16 points in 38 minutes. He wasn't super efficient, 6 of 14 from the field, but he did have 3 3-pointers, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 6 steals. And off the bench for the Pelicans, they got a nice performance from the other rookie, Trey Murphy III. He had 21 points in 25 minutes. He was 7 of 12 from the field. He had 4 threes and 4 rebounds. He was plus 21 in the plus minus, which was the team high. And then they also got 4 points from the other rookie, Jose Alvarado, in 17 minutes. And then 2 points for Devontae Graham. He was ice cold, 1 of 6 from the field. And 2 points as well for Najee Marshall, and he was also ice cold, 1 of 5 from the field. All right, next up we can move on to Brooklyn, where the Nets were defeated by the Charlotte Hornets, 119-110. The Hornets got a couple of clutch buckets late to win this game. They were ultimately led by LaMelo Ball, the sophomore. He had 33 points, including 7 3-pointers. And then they also got 24 from Miles Bridges and 18 and 11 from PJ Washington. Whereas the Nets were led by Kevin Durant, he had 27 points, and then they got 20 and 17 from Andre Drummond. He has been on fire to close the season. And then they got 16 points and 11 assists from Kyrie Irving, but he was ice cold in this game, 6 of 22 from the field. And frankly, Kevin Durant wasn't much better. He was 9 of 24 from the field. So frankly, it's pretty impressive that the Nets were even in this game as closely as they were, considering that terrible shooting from their two main guys. But the rest of the starters and some of the guys off the bench picked up the slack in terms of the efficiency. James Johnson, Nick Claxton, and Kessler Edwards, all off the bench, were perfect. They went a combined 7 of 7 from the field, and then Andre Drummond was 7 of 12 from the field, Seth Curry was 5 of 10 in the starting lineup, and Bruce Brown was 5 of 9. So as a team, the Nets were 44% from the field, and that was actually better than the Hornets. They were 42%, but the three-point shooting is where the Hornets totally dominated this game. They were 53% from three, whereas the Nets just 20% from beyond the arc, and that was in large part due to Durant and Irving going a combined 4 of 20 from three. But like I said, with all that being said, the Nets were still in contention late. It was actually a 1-point game with just 3 minutes to go after a layup from PJ Washington off of a LaMelo Ball assist. It was a 1-point advantage for the Hornets. It was 107-106 with 3:21 on the clock. So it was a really close game down the stretch. But then the Hornets just caught fire from beyond the arc. So first, Cody Martin hits a 3-pointer with 2:30 on the clock. That one extends the lead to 4. Then Seth Curry responds with a little 5-footer. But then Cody Martin again hits another 3-pointer. This one with 1:12 left on the clock. That one once again brings the Nets lead up to 5. It was 113-108. And then another 3-pointer from Terry Rozier. That one gave the Hornets a 8-point lead with 47 seconds to go. Then Kyrie Irving responded. He hit a layup. But then another 3-pointer for the Hornets. Miles Bridges this time with 23 seconds left on the clock. That one put the Hornets up by 9, 119-110. So just incredible shot making down the stretch. And the Nets just could not keep up with the 3-point barrage from the Hornets. And that really helped them secure this victory. And it was a much needed win too, because this was a pivotal game. The Hornets and Nets are battling for the 8th and 9th seeds. And the Hornets, with this victory, move ahead of the Brooklyn Nets. They're actually exactly tied now at 39-36. So the Hornets do have the advantage via the tiebreaker thanks to this win. And so they are now in 8th in the Eastern Conference, meaning that is very important because that means they only have to win one of their two play-in games. If the Nets stay in 9th, they'll have to not only beat the Hawks in the first game, but then they'll have to also beat the loser of the 7-8 matchup. So it's a very tightly contested battle there in the middle of the Eastern Conference for those final couple of spots for the play-in game. It looks pretty likely at this point that the Hawks will, in fact, remain in the 10th spot. And then there's a pretty sizable margin between the Hornets in 8th and the Cavaliers in 7th. So it's looking likely that the Hornets and Nets will be in 8th and 9th in some order. It's just who will get that 8th seed and who will get the 9th seed. We shall see. But right now, the Hornets have the advantage. They are, like I said, 39-36. They are on a two-game winning streak. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games, as are the Nets. And they're plus 0.4 in the point differential. And so as for the Nets, they are also now 39-36. In 9th, they are 1.5 games up, like I said, on the Hawks in 10th. And they've got a plus 0.3 point differential, which is slightly worse than the Hawks. And as I mentioned, they are 7-3 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Hornets were led by LaMelo Ball, the sophomore. He had 33 points in 37 minutes. He was 10 of 21 from the field, 7 of 12 from beyond the arc. And he had 7 rebounds, 9 assists, and 3 steals, stuffing the stat sheet, LaMelo Ball. And then they also got 24 points from Miles Bridges in 38 minutes. He was 9 of 24 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. He was only 3 of 6 from the free throw line, though, but he was plus 14 in the plus minus, 0 turnovers. And then they got 18 and 11 from PJ Washington in 31 minutes. He was very efficient, 8 of 12 from the field, including 2 threes. He had 5 assists as well. And then 7 points for Mason Plumlee in 27 minutes. He was 3 of 7 from the field. He had 8 rebounds. And Terry Rozier, rounding out the starting lineup, had 14 points. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 2 threes, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. And off the bench for the Hornets, they got 8 points from Cody Martin in 21 minutes. He was perfect, 3-3 from the field. He had 2 threes, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. 4 points for Jalen McDaniels in 13 minutes. He was ice cold, 0 of 4 from the field. 2 points for Montrezl Harrell. He was also 0 for. He was 0 of 3. And then 1 of 6 shooting for Kelly Oubre. He had just 2 points. And 7 points for Isaiah Thomas, their recent acquisition, the backup guard. He was 3 of 6 from the field. So kind of a weird disparity off the bench for the Hornets in terms of shooting the ball. Thomas was fine. Martin was actually perfect, 3 of 3. And then the other guys were terrible. McDaniels, 0 of 4. Harrell, 0 of 3. And Oubre, 1 of 6. But anyways, moving on to the Nets, and they were led by Kevin Durant. He had 27 points in 42 minutes, but he was just 9 of 24 from the field. He did have 3 three-pointers, though. He was 6 of 6 from the free throw line, and he had 8 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. He was negative 13 in the plus-minus. So overall, despite the slightly inefficient field goal percentage, decent stats throughout the box score for Kevin Durant. And the same could be said for Kyrie Irving. He had 16 points and 11 assists with 2 rebounds and 2 blocks, but he was just 6 of 22 from the field. But they did get a really nice contribution from Andre Drummond. He has been solid for the Nets since coming over from the Philadelphia 76ers. He was practically a throw-in, but he was definitely one of their more effective players in this game. He had 20 points on 7 of 12 shooting, 17 rebounds, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. You love that production from Drummond, especially from a fantasy perspective. Those 6 combined steals and blocks, that is gold. He was 6 of 11 from the free throw line, though, so that is the rub with Drummond. He'll stuff the stat sheet, especially the rebounds and the defensive categories, but then he'll kill you on the free throws. But anyways, elsewhere in the starting lineup, the Nets got 12 points from Seth Curry. He was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes and 2 assists. And 10 points for Bruce Brown, rounding out the starting lineup. He was actually the team low, negative 22 in the plus minus, but he was 5 of 9 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. And off the bench for the Nets, they got 9 points from Nick Claxton. And like I said, he was perfect, 4 of 4 from the field. And then they got 5 points from Kessler Edwards, the rookie. He only played 3 minutes, but he was also perfect, 2 of 2. And then James Johnson was 1 of 1 for 2 points. The other two guys off the bench, though, were not as good. The two guards, Goran Dragic and Patty Mills, they went a combined 4 of 13 from the field and 0 of 7 from 3. So Dragic, at the very least, stuffed the stat sheet. He had 7 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals with a block. And then Mills had just 2 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists, although he was the team high, plus 16 in the plus minus. All right, and finally, we can move on to Dallas, where the Mavericks defeated the Utah Jazz 114-100. The Mavs were led by Luka Doncic. He had 32 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists, leading the team in all 3 categories. And then they also got a double-double from Jalen Brunson, 22 and 10 rebounds, and 23 points from Reggie Bullock. He had 7 three-pointers. Whereas the Jazz were led by Rudy Gay off the bench. He had 18 points in just 23 minutes. And then they also got 14 points from Mike Conley in the starting lineup and 14 points off the bench from Jordan Clarkson. But another disappointing loss here for the Rudy Gobert-less Jazz. Donovan Mitchell just had 12 points on 4 of 13 shooting. And then there was some other disappointing shooting from the rest of the guys on the roster for the Jazz as well. As a team, they were 46% from the field, 35% from three, whereas the Mavericks were just on fire. They were 51% from the field, 50% from three. That is incredible. As a team, they were 17 of 34 from beyond the arc, whereas the Jazz were 12 of 34. And it was the second half when the Mavericks dominated this game. They were actually trailing throughout the majority of the first half. The Jazz had outscored the Mavericks 29-21 in the first. So they had a decent lead throughout the majority of the first and second quarters. But then at the very end of the second is when the Mavs started to make their comeback. By the end of the first half, they had cut the deficit all the way to just one. It was 59-58. And then they just dominated in the second half, outscoring the Jazz 32-20 in the third, and then 24-21 in the fourth. So a comfortable win in the end for the Mavericks. In fact, it was pretty dominant. At one point in the fourth quarter, it was a 19-point advantage for Dallas after a 12-footer from Jalen Brunson with 6:05 left on the clock. It was 107-88. So totally dominant win here for the Mavericks. And so with this victory, they now improve to 46-29. So as I touched on before, they are in pursuit of the Warriors in the third spot. The Mavericks are just two games behind the Warriors now, so probably not enough time left in the season to catch them, but they theoretically could still. They are one game up on the Jazz in fifth, so this was a pivotal game. The Mavericks in fourth, the Jazz now in fifth. The Mavericks are plus 2.6 in the point differential, which is significantly worse than the Jazz, but they're 6-4 in their last 10 games, whereas the Jazz are 4-6 in their last 10. They're on a four-game losing streak. They're now 45-30 with this loss. Like I said, one game behind the Mavericks and one game up on the Denver Nuggets in sixth. So the Jazz free-falling right now. They're really struggling without Rudy Gobert, and I fear that there is going to be some big changes in the offseason because I don't see them making much noise in the playoffs, and that is going to be yet another disappointing exit in the postseason for the Jazz. And so I would not be surprised at all if this core of Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, and then Quinn Snyder at head coach was not the same heading into next season. But anyways, we can move on now to the box score. And the Jazz were led, as I mentioned, by Rudy Gay off the bench. He had 18 points in 23 minutes. He was 8 of 14 from the field. He had 2 3-pointers, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. And then they also got 14 points off the bench from Jordan Clarkson in 29 minutes. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 3 3-pointers, 3 rebounds, and 6 assists. But as for the starting lineup, they were led by Mike Conley. He had 14 points in 26 minutes. He was 6 of 9 from the field. He was 0 of 2 from 3 and 2 of 5 from the free throw line, though. And he had 7 assists. He was negative 20 in the plus-minus. The next leading scorer was Donovan Mitchell with just 12 points in 32 minutes. He was 4 of 13 from the field. And he had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal. Eric Paschal was in the starting lineup, the big man. He had 10 points in 26 minutes. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 2 threes, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal. 7 points for Juancho Hernan Gomez in 29 minutes. He was 3 of 6 from the field. He had 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And Royce O'Neal rounding out the starting lineup. He was just 2 of 6, and he had 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 steals. Off the bench for the Jazz, besides Rudy Gay and Jordan Clarkson, they also got 10 points from Trent Forrest in 21 minutes. He was 5 of 9 from the field. And then they got 7 points from the rookie Jared Butler and 2 points from Xavier Sneed. Nikhil Alexander-Walker did not score at all in 9 minutes. He was 0 of 3 from the field. And as for the Mavericks, they were led by Luka Doncic. He was incredible. 32 points in 33 minutes. He was 11 of 21 from the field. He had 4 3-pointers, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. He was plus 9 in the plus-minus. The team high in that regard was actually Reggie Bullock. He was plus 20 in his 35 minutes, and he had 23 points on 8 of 12 shooting, 7 of 11 from 3, and he had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. 22 points for Jalen Brunson, starting alongside Luka Doncic in the Mavs' backcourt. He was really solid. 7 of 15 from the field, 6 of 6 from the free throw line, 2 3-pointers, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. And then they also got 8 points from Dorian Finney-Smith. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 6 points from Dwight Powell. And off the bench for the Mavs, they got 12 points from Spencer Dinwiddie. His incredible run for the Mavericks continues. In 23 minutes in this game, he was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 1 3-pointer, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 points for Frank Ntilikina in 4 minutes, 6 for Davis Bertans. He was 2 of 4 from the field. And Maxi Kleba had just 2 points in 23 minutes. He had 7 rebounds. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And we had a few really good options to pick from. Ultimately, we're going to go with Joel Embiid. Despite coming in a loss, he was incredible. But before we get to him, let's run through some of the other options. You had LaMelo Ball dropping 33 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, and 3 steals, stuffing the stat sheet. And then you also had Chris Paul with a very efficient double-double, 19 points, 14 assists on 9 of 15 shooting. You also got 39 points from LeBron James. He had 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 34 from Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown had 31 and 10, and then Luka Doncic had 32, 10, and 5. So definitely plenty of options to pick from last night in the NBA, but ultimately, we had to go with Joel Embiid. He had a monster line, 37 points, 15 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. He was 14 of 27 from the field, 8 of 12 from the free throw line. So you would maybe like to see a little bit better efficiency from Embiid, and the 4 turnovers are a bit disappointing, but nonetheless, you can't overlook those incredible numbers elsewhere in the box score. 37 points, 15 rebounds, the huge double-double, and then 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. That is undeniable stuff from the MVP candidate, Joel Embiid, especially those 5 combined steals and blocks that really put him over the edge in this one. So Embiid, your standout line of the night, and that's your surprising line of the night. We actually had a couple of really good options, and they were both in contention for standout line of the night as well. So first, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He had 22 points on perfect efficiency, 8 of 8 from the field, and 3 of 3 from the free throw line. And he had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks as well. So really incredible line, especially the efficiency for KCP. But ultimately, we're going to go with Andre Drummond for surprising line of the night. He was incredible as well. 20 points, 17 rebounds on 7 of 12 shooting, and he had 3 steals and 3 blocks. That is just incredible stuff. Now, the downside for Drummond is that he was 6 of 11 from the free throw line, and he also had 3 turnovers. So a bit disappointing there, but nonetheless, the 6 combined steals and blocks and the 17 rebounds is just incredible stuff. That's like vintage Drummond performance. He was always a fantasy beast when he was a starting center, but as he has been coming off the bench for the majority of the season, his numbers have obviously been significantly down this year, but he hinted the other day that he's probably not going to be returning to Brooklyn in the offseason, so perhaps he's got something lined up, like maybe a contract with a team that needs a starting center, and that would certainly put his fantasy value at a premium once again heading into next season. This year, he's only averaging 7.5 points and 9 rebounds in 20 minutes, so this was obviously far above his season averages. So Andre Drummond is your surprising line of the night, and Joel Embiid is your standout line of the night. All right, and with that, we can move on now finally to our preview for tonight, Monday, March the 28th, and we've got 9 games on in the NBA tonight. Starting off in Cleveland, the Cavaliers are taking on the Orlando Magic, and the Cavs are big favorites. They are -9. In Charlotte, the Hornets face the Denver Nuggets, and the Nuggets are -3. In Indiana, the Pacers take on the Atlanta Hawks, and the Hawks are -8. In Miami, the Heat are taking on the Sacramento Kings, and the Heat are -12.5. In New York, the Knicks face the Chicago Bulls, and the Bulls are -3.5. In Toronto, the Raptors take on the Boston Celtics, and the Raps are -4. In Memphis, the Grizzlies take on the Golden State Warriors, and the Grizz are huge favorites, -10.5. In Houston, the Rockets are taking on the Spurs, and the Spurs are -7.5. And finally, in Portland, the Trailblazers are taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Thunder are -2. All right, so a lot of intriguing lines. I would definitely be tempted by more of them if not for the tanking that is certainly going to come into play tonight and throughout the rest of the season. So for instance, I would definitely be tempted by the Orlando Magic +9 in Cleveland if it wasn't for the fact that they are certainly going to be doing their best to tank the rest of the season away to get the best pick in the draft that they possibly can. They've actually been a pretty competent team over the past couple of weeks and months. They're 4-6 in their last 10, but they have lost their last 2. And like I said, I think they're probably going to be shutting some guys down here and there to increase their chances even more. So I can't go with that one. Similar story with the Indiana Pacers, Atlanta Hawks. I would be very tempted by the Pacers +8, if not for the fact that they are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs and they have nothing to play for at this point. And then the same story goes with the Portland Trailblazers +2 versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, both of these teams are actually tanking at this point, so I really don't know who I would go with. But the Trailblazers have just been so terrible over the last couple of weeks. They're 2-8 in their last 10. They've been like basically the worst team in the NBA in the last, last couple of weeks. They're on a 3-game losing streak. The Thunder are always capable, but they're 1-9 in their last 10 games. So I was tempted to go with the Thunder because the Trailblazers have been so terrible, but I'm not going to go with that one or any of those other ones where the tanking team is heavily favored. Ultimately, we've just got one best bet for today. It is going to be a game where there's a tanking team, but we're betting against the tanking team. We're going to take the San Antonio Spurs -7.5 in Houston. The Rockets are once again one of these teams that are desperately trying to lose as many games as possible, whereas the Spurs are quite the opposite. They are trying to win to surpass the Lakers to get into the play-in game. The Spurs have had a pretty lackluster season, all things considered, but somehow they're still in contention for that 10th seed, just one game behind the Lakers now, and they've got a pretty soft schedule throughout the rest of the season. They've got the Rockets tonight, and then they play the Trailblazers, and then I think the Rockets again, or maybe the Trailblazers again, I don't know. They've got several games against really bad teams throughout the rest of the year, so they'll be acutely aware of how close they are to catching LA. And so ultimately, I think they will comfortably win this game. The Rockets are 4-6 in their last 10, and they're actually on a two-game winning streak, but they've got that negative 8.6 point differential, which is worst in the NBA. And the Spurs, on the other hand, are actually negative 0.3, which is surprisingly good. It's actually better than the three teams ahead of them, and it has been for quite some time. So I think the Spurs will ultimately comfortably win this game, and so we're going to take them minus 7.5 in Houston, and that's going to be our only best bet for today. All right, and that will do it for us. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we're at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all 9 of those games and to preview the action for Tuesday, March the 29th. So until then, thanks for tuning in.